Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 63rd episode of The Simple Sophisticate. A confluence of emails from listeners of the podcast and new readers to the blog brought to my attention that many people originally discovered the blog these last year through this podcast, The Simple Sophisticate. And as such, this became very clear to me that they may not be aware of the wealth of posts that the archives on the blog possess. For example, reader Karen requested a post on online shopping and shopping in person, and she's in luck because I do have two such posts. One, why not shop online, and one, why not shop locally, each detailing the benefits and reasons why you might want to consider one or the other. Both were originally posted over 2 years ago. With more than 300 posts to inspire, remind, and inform you as you travel the journey of curating your very own unique, simply luxurious life, the archives, which are organized by topic and then alphabetized, is a destination all of its own, so that when you're caught up on the most recent post on the Simply Luxurious Life blog and have listened to all of the episodes of the podcast, you can start diving into the archives. All have been updated and uploaded with images and visuals, and I think you will enjoy them. So today's episode is pulled directly from the archive, circa 2011. A reader recently commented that she thought it would make a worthwhile episode of the podcast, and after taking a look, I realized she may be onto something. So thank you, Carmen. And for readers who've been following the Simply Luxurious Life since it all began back in 2009, don't worry. Well, the basic items on the list of this particular post, now episode of the podcast, will be the same. The commentary will be new. I hope you enjoy. But before I get started on this week's episode, a brief hint as to what this week's petit plaisir will be. It is a film that I fell in love with over this weekend, and I think you will too. Do stay tuned and find out what it is at the end of today's episode. So today's episode is all about the essentials for life. Why not gather the essentials for life? And I'm going to talk about 9 essentials that really lay the foundation for living a life of our dreams. A universal quote that I discovered a long time ago on the topic of essentials for living a full life comes from Joseph Addison, and I'm sure you've heard it or seen it before. Here it is. 3 grand essentials to happiness in this life are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. And while I couldn't agree more, I've always wanted more specifics or more guidance, if you will, on exactly what each of these entail. With the purpose of breaking down and of putting into words exactly what essentials, when combined, make life truly fulfilling, we're going to look at these 9 essentials that make for the fulfilling life we all are seeking. Keeping in mind that life will never be perfect and that every person's route to true contentment and fulfillment is different, I will try to examine what general elements are necessary ingredients as we each embark upon each of our unique paths. First one, gratitude. To appreciate life and all that is possible and has already been given to us is to live with intention and is to be grateful. And in order to live fully, we must live with intention. After all, life is very brief, no matter how long each of us is granted on this earth. And to appreciate this fact is to set ourselves right on the path that will lead to fulfillment. So number one is gratitude. Number two, genuine love. So many times, the misunderstanding of what love should look like in our lives leads us down the wrong path. Part of the reason I think that we experience these relationships that don't work out is to teach us exactly what true love is. There is not one relationship that I haven't been in, and I don't mean just in romantic relationships, but friendships, that I am not thankful for in hindsight. because there was always a lesson I could learn from it. There was always something I could realize about what was lacking or what was fantastic, but we just could not stay together or we could not remain in the same place that we were. We had outgrown it. However, the key component that all of us want, but don't always know how or what it looks like until we have experienced it one way or the other, is love. But let's look exactly what it should be. What should love be? Having love in our lives does not mean we give of ourselves to the point that we aren't being true to who we are. Instead, it means we give what we are capable of. And this will change as we grow and change ourselves. For example, I think there are times in our life, and it has been this way for me so far anyway, obviously I have a long ways to go and a lot of experience to gain, that there are times in our life you really have to put your foot down and cultivate yourself. Figure out who you are. And if instead you are giving entirely to someone else, you shortchange yourself. You shortchange who you can be for a better relationship down the road. When we finally figure out who we are and whether we have established a career, if that's what we want to do, or established a purpose, whatever that purpose is, then it's easier to give more of ourselves. Not that we should ever give ourselves entirely, because we must always take care of ourselves. But when we're more content, when we're more secure and more knowledgeable of who we are and what we can do and what we wish to do, we are a better partner. Having love in our lives means feeling love from those who accept us for who we are without having to morph into something else. While we shouldn't live life to be accepted by others, we must learn to love and accept ourselves as we are, even when we know we are a work in progress. And we all will always be in a work in progress if we continually seek knowledge. But the beauty is we can learn lessons along the way that make life easier and allow us to live a more quality way of life. So number two is genuine love. Number three is good health. By having gratitude, we are then able to appreciate what our bodies can do for us when we take care of them, whether it's eating well or adhering to a regular exercise routine that's challenging but enjoyable, our machine that will carry us to each enjoyable experience will allow us to live to our fullest potential. Keeping a healthy mind is also part of having good health. Whether it's through meditation, prayer, or other avenues, this is imperative. I offer a handful of posts from the archives to share with you specific ways to take care of your body and specific ways to get and stay in shape. Be sure to check today's show notes. So number two, an essential for a fantastic, quality-filled life is good health. Number four is to have a healthy social circle. The ability to find balance in life between work and home is to create a healthy social circle in our personal lives that is uplifting and positive. There are many types of friendships we can have in our lives, and it's not necessarily about having the most friends. It's making sure the friendships we do have are ones that elevate our lives and us, them as well, so that we can become our best selves, so we can reach our true fulfillment, and also so we can have the support. Obviously, we know fair-weathered friends aren't anybody's friend, but I think the key is to recognize what you need. Because, for example, if you're an introvert like myself, I have a handful of great friends, and I do mean a handful, probably less than a handful. But these are women that I have known for years, most of them. Some I'm just getting to know. But these are people that respect my boundaries, understand that I do like my time alone. Now, if I was an extrovert, this may be different. I may have more friends because I would want to cultivate and I would be out doing more. But for me and my personality and my lifestyle, these friendships work for me. So it's important that just because a magazine has a list of these are the friends, five friends you should have, doesn't mean that that's going to work for you. Again, it comes back to that whole art of getting to know yourself and what you need. And once you do, I think it'll be easier to discern when a friend or someone you're just getting to know really fits the bill and whether you want to invest. So number four is to cultivate a healthy social circle. Number five is to be an effective communicator. Being able to effectively communicate with those you live with, are friends with, or work with is essential to success everywhere in your life. When we are able to clearly explain what we are feeling in a manner that is not attacking, hurtful, or defensive, we then encourage others to respond in a similar, respectful way. This is really that whole idea of mirroring. If we mirror or teach or show each other how to treat us, it becomes easier for them to either show us if they can do that, and if they aren't, they probably will not be someone who will remain a friend or in our social circle. And that really is easier to do when you have a sense of security about who you are and how you know you deserve to be treated. And we all deserve to be treated with respect. But sometimes we internally, subconsciously don't believe that. We've got to believe that if we want to teach people how to treat us, and that must be them treating us well, because we do deserve that. Each one of us does. It could also be an exemplifying kindness. If we exemplify this thoughtfulness, then we show them that it's okay for them to be vulnerable with us as well. So that's another part of this whole effective communication. While it is most helpful when we learn these positive behaviors by those around us in our childhood, even if we haven't had positive role models when we're young, it is still possible to acquire these necessary skills as an adult. And I provide 2 posts from the archives to help you figure out how to have an effective conversation as well as how to be a better listener. So be sure to check out today's show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast63. All right, I've just covered 5 of the 9 essentials to live an amazing life. I'm going to take a quick intermission and I will see you on the other side. Are you a new listener to The Simple Sophisticate? Curious about what living simply luxuriously is all about? Start at the beginning with the very first episode that focuses on the 8 pillars of living a simply luxurious life. It's the most downloaded episode of the podcast and the perfect way to discover how to live your best life. Visit www.thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast1 and discover what simply luxurious living is all about. Welcome back. Number 6 on the list of essentials for living a simply luxurious life is self-confidence and self-respect. In order to live our own lives, to chase our own dreams, and to successfully be the best person we can possibly be, each of us must know who we are, respect ourselves, and be confident. So much so as to be able to propel ourselves out into the world when those times arise when we doubt ourselves and our abilities. The key to having confidence, I've had an episode entirely about confidence. I'll provide links on today's show notes. But we have to figure out how to gain it. The only way to gain confidence is to step outside our comfort zone from time to time. This is when things are uncomfortable. These are doing things we've never done before, going places we've never done before, trying a new skill we've never done. But oftentimes when we reflect back on what we've accomplished, we're reminded of what we are capable of. And that boosts our confidence. And that is what allows us to keep stepping forward and trying something new. So I'll provide a handful of links to posts on self-respect, how to get to know yourself, and finding your confidence on today's show notes. So be sure to check out whichever one you're interested in. So 6 is to have self-confidence and self-respect. 7 is to have a purpose. Whether one's purpose is in a particular career or in raising a family, each person must find their own fulfilling direction in life. This purpose must not be something that is placed upon us, making us uncomfortable, as to be like a family expectation or societal expectation. You will pursue a law degree. You will have 2 kids and a dog. If that's not who you are or what you want to do, don't do it. Don't do it. And sometimes that sounds easier said than done, especially when we have pressures from friends who are doing this, and we think that's the easy path to happiness. Whatever path it is, that just doesn't sit well with us. It's key to find that courage within you to say, no, I don't know what my path is, but that one doesn't feel right, and I'm going to try to figure out what is. When we have discovered our purpose, we have helped ourselves out by determining the direction of our lives. And let me tell you, when you finally figure out your direction, either the career or how you're going to give back to the world, if that's what you've been searching for, you don't know how to do it. Once you find out how, talk about knowing how to answer life's questions when they're presented to you. I think oftentimes the big quandaries so far in my life have happened when I'm not sure what I want my life to look like, what's going to sit well with me. But once I have found that out, oh, the decisions are much easier, much easier. Move here, stay here. You figure out exactly what you're comfortable with and exactly what you're more capable of, and you don't settle. Once you know where you want to go, you don't settle. You don't settle. Now, the purpose may change throughout different stages of life, but the key is to listen to our hearts and trust that we are capable of making the journey. I'll provide a link on today's show notes on how to discover your purpose. It's a 3-part series, and I think you'll enjoy it. So number 7 is to discover a purpose. Number 8 is to have opportunities to grow. No matter what our age, we must always be willing to grow and learn. To learn is to allow ourselves to improve, discover new things, and to feel alive. The world around us is constantly changing, and we too are dynamic creatures, so it's imperative that we look for new opportunities to learn something that piques our curiosity, a skill, a part of history, anything. If something grabs your eye in the newspaper or on the news or on your social media, keep digging, keep searching. It doesn't have to make sense at first. It probably won't. Once you finally spend that time, invest that energy, you'll be amazed at the treasure you discover. The key is to continue to challenge our minds, and forever we will then remain young at heart. I'll provide a link on today's show notes on how to learn ways to challenge yourself on a regular basis, because it truly will improve the quality of your life. And number 9 is to have the ability to find the balance. There is so much of life that is unknown. The motives of the people around us, what awaits us in the future, and what our past has prepared us for. Being able to know when to live in the moment, how to have a healthy sense of humor, and when it's appropriate to look ahead and be cognizant of the consequences of our actions and when to let go are key skills to acquiring balance. I will provide a detailed post link to how to establish this balance, but it really comes down to educating yourself, to getting to know yourself, and to being willing to take risks from time to time to stretch yourself. Because when you achieve a balance in life, even though it is a constant process, it is something that will improve, obviously, the quality, but it will keep that motor running. It's kind of like if you keep walking on the balance beam or on a tightrope, and you keep at a steady pace and you have your balance and you have your eye on the right target. If you keep going, or a better example I should say is like riding a bike. Momentum is key. Keep moving. That's the easiest way to keep your balance. Keep learning something. Keep striving forward. Keep being appreciative. And it's amazing what that momentum will bring into your life. So I'll provide a link on how to increase the balance in your life. And now 2 extra essentials. Accept life's cycles. Once each of us realizes and accepts that life will include ups and downs, births and deaths, successes and struggles, we are then capable of savoring and genuinely appreciating those moments of joy at a level that helps us get through those moments of sadness and frustration. Everything has its time. Nothing, good or bad, lasts forever, as we know. And accepting that life truth really can help improve the quality of our everyday lives. Because it is when we understand that things can go wrong as easily as they can go right that we cheer that much more exuberantly for those moments of joy. And the last essential, but certainly not the least, hope. I like ending with this one. Ultimately, as long as we have hope for a better future, for a new day, and for our dreams to come true, we will always bring that positive energy back to us. I wholeheartedly believe this. if we put out a kind heart, if we put out optimism, people want to be around that. If, as long as it's sincere, people want to be around that. And you don't know how it's going to attract more optimism and goodness into your life, but it will. But it will. I have already a multitude of examples of this, just having lived in Bend for 3 months now, and it's overwhelmingly amazing. So I encourage you to continue to put yourself out there, continue to have hope for a better day tomorrow, continue to strive towards your dream, put out the person in the world that you want to see, that you want to become, or that you want to interact with. And undoubtedly, amazing things will materialize. I hope you are already experiencing an amazing, simply luxurious life. And, it really isn't that complicated if we just think about it. So today's essentials for living a simply luxurious life can be found at today's show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast63. And there is an ample amount of posts from the archives that I've pulled that I think you will enjoy. But please feel free to check out the archives. There are endless posts that I think for sure a handful will be something you would be interested in. All right, now to this week's petit plaisir. I'll see you in just a few. Welcome back. As I mentioned in last Friday's This and That, I was eager. Okay, eager is not the strongest word. I need to use a stronger word. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know, but you get the idea. I could not wait to watch Nancy Meyers' new film, The Intern, starring Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro. It hit theaters last Friday, September 25th. And so this past Saturday, I made a date with myself and took in a matinee of this lovely, chic comedy. Now, interesting to note, originally Tina Fey and Michael Caine were scheduled to play the headlining roles. Then it was Reese Witherspoon who's going to play the female role. But as we know, Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway secured the top spots. I must say, they seem to really fit these roles well. They interact so well together. I don't know if De Niro and Reese would have been a nice of a fit. There's this quality with Hathaway and De Niro that just works really well. Anyway, Anne Hathaway plays the CEO, Jules Austin, who has created an online shopping site called About the Fit. In 18 short months, her business has soared, and she now employs more than 200 primarily millennial workers in a refurbished Brooklyn warehouse. Deciding to hire three senior interns, Robert De Niro's character, Ben Whitaker, is tapped to assist Jules. And gradually, take some time, of course, a friendship unfolds. True to form, Nancy Meyers' set is superb, with the office of About the Fit tailored after Nasty Gal and Moda Operandi, which she toured for inspiration, and a New York brownstone for Jules and her family that reminds me of Jenna Lyons' house that she used to have in Brooklyn a few years ago until she sold it. As well, Robert De Niro's character is a widower, and while we don't see as much of his townhouse, it too is immaculate and well tended to. He has a well-stocked kitchen with the top-of-the-line appliances. It's really warm, and he has a custom-designed closet. You name it, Nancy Meyers has thought of it. And in today's show notes, I'll provide a couple of images from the set. They are beautiful. The beauty of this film, as Nancy Meyers reminded reporters, is there are not unexpected twists and turns. Her films are feel-good, beautiful to watch visually, and offering characters to like, not loathe. Meyers and Hathaway paid particular care to presenting a female CEO who was likable. And while she plays a mother, the guilt is removed that was there in Baby Boom, of which Meyers also produced and wrote. The household supports her. Her husband supports her. And granted, there is some angst with her and her husband to make God have some drama, right? There's never a doubt that she shouldn't have done what she's doing. In fact, there's this fantastic scene. De Niro is watching Anne Hathaway's character's daughter for a play date. And he's talking with the other moms. And he has a fantastic little aside to these moms who are not in the least bit supportive of her decision to work as the CEO in this quite successful internet company. It is priceless. I think you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you see that scene. Asked in an interview by Joanna of Cup of Joe why she pays such careful attention to the interiors of her set, Myers stated that she herself finds great sanctuary in her own house, her office, her kitchen, and her bedroom, stating that she truly is just happy in her house, which she resides in Brentwood, California. Therefore, she tries to create the same sense of home for her characters as well. While I noted in my Instagram post over the weekend that the ending was almost too predictable and, in my opinion, not entirely necessary. In fact, I think it actually would have been more believable and also more appreciated by the audience. Without hesitation, though, this is a movie that you will love and enjoy. And I think, for me anyway, it's going to be one of those that I watch again and again and again, similar to You've Got Mail or even the other Nancy Myers film, Something's Gotta Give. It's complicated. The Holiday. And in case you're like me and I'm already punching at the bit for another Nancy Myers film, she announced to reporters this month that she is already in the works with a new film working with Steve Martin. So, needless to say, I'm already impatient to watch it. Cannot wait. So be sure to check out today's show notes, the simplyluxuriouslife.com podcast 63 to watch the trailer, as well as a handful of pics from the interiors that only Nancy Myers seems to know how to curate. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, a recipe, or from time to time, introduce you to an expert who offers insight into how to live simply, luxuriously. Anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.